You're listening to a podcast from 702 and Cape Talk. A
couple of things that come out of the ANC's discussion documents. The one focusing on organizational renewal, for example, proposes a reduction in the number of NEC members in general. Doesn't say by how much, but that it should be reduced. The reduction of the NEC's reversal of a push by supporters of President Jacob Zuma, some would say, in 2007, for the NEC to be enlarged from 66 to 86 members. There's also an interesting recommendation up for debate in terms of what percentage of NEC members could perhaps be in cabinet to leave more senior members free to be able to serve in business, civil society, and internationally. And those are just some of the sort of top-line issues that have come out. I mean, there's more information in here also about branch sizes. The party is also questioning its requirement for branch sizes, saying it often loses, quote, segments of our society like the progressive intelligentsia with its requirement for branches to have at least 100 members before being declared a branch. So a lot of fascinating stuff in this organizational renewal document. I think we have found the minister, but wearing his hat as head of ANC organizing and mobilizing, and can certainly speak to the organizational renewal committee work as well. Minister, good morning, and thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm glad we found you.
Good morning, Eusebius. Thank you for having me. Yeah,
we should have you more often. I don't think we've had you on the show, at least not since I've been back on. But thanks for coming on.
Yes. Thank you, my brother.
Minister, yeah. I first want to go back to Mangaung. You know, at Mangaung, because I'm now old enough to have institutional memory like the very old journalist, organizational renewal was a big deal. I remember resolutions with really, really cool phrases like the decade of the cadre that will happen. But since then, there's been dolorous training of this so-called new decade of the cadre, which in turn, in theory, is meant to obviously generate some incredibly skilled and ethically minded people with butter-baller principles and second them to the state. So my first question is, before we even talk about this current document, Minister, it doesn't seem as if the resolutions that eventually get taken, both at policy conference and eventually gets voted on at an elective conference, there isn't always very good follow-through. So why should we expend a lot of intellectual energy on discussing the fine print?
Eusebius, what we have done with this document, because I was heading that document in Mangaung.
Yeah.
Equally with this one. We have combed what has not been done in Mangaung and lifted it into this document equally. We're starting from 2007.
Mm.
And then you will realize that there's a whole lot of other issues that are not implemented from the point of view of organizational renewal in that document of Mangaung, which makes a thorough theoretical analysis of the state of the ANC in relation to why we need to renew the organization. You are correct. To the extent we have gone in implementing some of the resolutions of Mangaung in terms of organizational renewal will become the subject of the conference. But it doesn't mean that the subject itself must die because of inadequate implementation of what was decided.
No, absolutely, of course. And in some ways, I think, well, certainly my view as an analyst, and I think it's hard to exaggerate just how important organizational renewal is for your political party at this particular juncture. Because in many ways, the quality of the branches, branch members, the bottom-up accountability processes of those cadres that you put in key positions in municipalities, provincial governments, and also yourselves in cabinet, that matters profoundly. And organizational renewal, before we even look at any further detail, it really is one of the most important subcommittee discussions that need to be taken seriously. I would imagine you would agree with that.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, with regard to that, because organizational renewal, as you will understand it, as an aspect of organizational development, is actually driven by human beings. So the human capacity and the warm bodies behind an idealistic organizational renewal is informed by both theory and practice. So the people who are going to be at the helm of the implementation of that should equally be equipped to a certain extent ideologically and politically in terms of the party, you know, outlook. Otherwise, it will just become a mayhem.
Yes.
You can't implement organizational renewal of the ANC if you don't understand the ideology of the African National Congress. That is why our premise in this document is informed by our strategy and tactics.
Minister, I want to talk about the NEC size. There's obviously some public discussion that will now happen, also one in the branches amongst leaders and supporters and members of the ANC about a recommendation in relation to the size of the NEC. Does size matter?
We're opening it up for discussion. To us, in of that document, we think it does. We believe that a much leaner NEC will make us to be accountable and actually elect the right people that will be informed by through the eye of the needle in terms of those people that will be elected. If you've got an oversized NEC, you know the Chinese Communist Party, they've got 1 billion population. What is the size of the SAC or of the Communist Party of China? It's less than 20 people. So here in South Africa, drawing from the lessons of other liberation movements and like-minded formations in the world, as the ANC, we look at ourselves and we say, look, we've got a population of, we're told by the weathermen, I mean by the yellow men, the SG, statistician general in Tatepandi Wotla and his team, that we are almost, if not 55 million people. So the party being the ANC, how many people should it? 100? Too much. We think that we must reduce that number, and at the same time so that it can be much linear and much focused in terms of the work that it needs to do. And probably everybody must have a task. We've got free riders in these NECs, where in which a person just become an NEC by attending meetings, but that person doesn't have a specific role. So to us in this discussion, reducing the number means much focus and at the same time decentralizing tasks among members of the NEC.
The reason I ask whether size matters, Minister, is not just to use a bad sexual pun, but because I would have thought that the quality of men and women and gender non-conforming persons that you have in the NEC is much more important than the number. If the NEC had 88 members, or it had 66, or maybe even a smaller number, the real determinant of whether the NEC will hold cadres seconded to the state accountable, themselves accountable, leaders in the PECs accountable, RECs accountable, is the skill, integrity, and commitment to the ANC's constitution, the letter and spirit of it, and that of the country. That is a question of character rather than a numbers game.
Yes, I mean, the National Executive Committee in itself, at all material times, renewal or not renewal, must always have a program of action, and then it must drive the vision of the party. It must be informed by the mission of the party. Now, if the National Executive Committee, again, Eusebius, no matter the size, it does not, is not informed by the following that I've mentioned, then it is as much as doomed. You see, the question of the size features in relation to the focus, you know, and at the same time, to be much more in a position to take decisions that take the organization forward. We can be 100, but part of that 100 is that it is filled by negativity in a sense that others just is a numbers game. But if we are 60 or 50, we are much focused. Because 50 of us can speak, can implement, and can work hard. So we will not have free riders. We are just there because it's a numbers game.
Hmm.
When we're running short of people, we decided, no, let's pick Mbalula and put him in. It's a debate. Why do we need 100 people?
Yeah, no, fair enough. And I do think both quality and also the numbers also matter in terms of where the leaner might mean
NPC
more.
NPC is an elite structure. It can only be defined by quality. We don't want, quantity there.
Hmm.
It is enough that NEC is drawn from the populace or the membership of the ANC, that is over a million supporters, and all of that. Now, you can't afford to have that at the level of the NEC. At the level of the NEC, that is why we use through the eye of the needle. We must be thorough. The reason why we are not is because we've got 100 people. That anyhow, Mbalula can find himself there, even though he doesn't understand how.
But Minister, to be honest, it's not just that, though. The point I was trying to be very gentle about, and I suppose I've got to be characteristically blunt now, is that many of the NEC members have got their own interests. Many have got ties to business. Many of them are more rich than I will ever be in two lifetimes combined. And sometimes that influences how they go about fulfilling their duties as NEC members. That is the point that I was trying to make by saying the quality of the NEC member is a greater determinant than whether you have three NEC members in that body or 88.
That is the very question that you said, yes, if it does exist, that the ANC, NEC has got more rich people than it been led by people who don't have.
Mm.
In my view, just skating over that NEC, those people don't have money there. They don't own properties. They are just professional politicians, who most of them are in parliament. Now, if you say to me most of them are in government and in government leadership position, I will agree with you. But if you say that most of them are rich, I'll say no. Now, the question about the NEC should be an NEC that ideologically is constituted of the advanced layer of the ANC membership. It is the people who understand the ANC ideology. It is the people who've got the track record in the party. And when you cut me, I was referring to the Communist Party of China. You can never be in the Central Committee of the Communist Party of China up until to certain years. It is a holy land in the context of the communist. The ANC NEC has been something that is up for grabs to everybody. And the question of the number is going to assist us to think really through who must be here. Not because my faction has actually won and it is actually dominant, but exactly who must be here. And that the membership of the ANC can know their leaders by heart because they know them through the trenches and the years of struggle that they've arrived at the conclusion that they now can ascend to the top position. We must go back to the ANC in exile. How many people were there and how many members they were leading, both above board and underground? Well, less than 30.
Okay. Minister, just one last question before we run out of time. I mean, the other thing that's been interesting, and there was also some interesting discussion on this between Minister Jeff Radebe and Karima Brown 2 weeks ago on her show on Talk at 9 on a Sunday evening, is, of course, a potential cap on the percentage of NEC members, whatever the size of the NEC, when it comes to who may actually be seconded to the executive. The folks who came up with this proposal, and it's not policy, it is a proposal for debate. What is the intuition behind it? What is the logic?
The question of NEC members being dominated by people only in cabinet. In fact, that position in our document has been now expanded because the NEC said to us, no, in the discussion, don't just put the cap for cabinet. Make the NEC of the ANC to be an NEC that is drawn from various strata, of society, and at the same time, levels and areas of accountability. It must be drawn, NEC members should be deployed to become civic leaders. They should be deployed, you know, in various areas, you know, in society, not just cabinet. At the present moment, the most lucrative and the preoccupation of deployment for NEC, not only NEC, ANC members, which has become predominantly NEC-dominated, it is cabinet. And so we are saying no. But equally, the dangers of all being in cabinet is that we lack self being critical, because we look at the post before we look at what obtains in relation to the interest of the organization. And that is why, that is what is behind that that proposal for discussion.
Great stuff. Minister, thank you so much for making time for us. We really do appreciate your coming on.
Thank you very much, Eusebius. Thank you.
Cheers. That was the head of the ANC's Organizing and Mobilizing Committee speaking there to the Document and Organizational Renewal on this occasion, Minister Fikile Mbalula. I wonder what you make of that. 011-883-0702. I'm going to take your quick reactions there to his remarks, and in Cape Town on 021-446-0567, 6 minutes before noon.